Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it.
We must show them love.
We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus. For this is true revival. Love is all they need. Everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
Well, hello there. I'm Patricia King, and this is Robert Hodgkin, and we are with you today to talk about something prophetically relevant. It's about apostolic partnership, because there's been a definite change in the face of the church, Robert, over the last maybe 25 years, and especially since the 1990s, whereas it used to be years ago, you know, at least when I was growing up and right up into the 90s, really, is that the center focus of the church was in the local church unit.
Right.
And so we didn't have a lot of media back then like we do today, but we had a local church or a number of local churches within a community, and people would go to church and their Christian life would be centered around the church.
Right, Sunday mornings at the church.
Right? Yep, Sunday mornings at the church and their social functions and then their missions outreaches would be done through missionaries that were assigned to that church or to that denomination, and that they would be funded through that denomination and that. But things have changed drastically in this last 25 years because of revival.
Absolutely.
Especially in the revival in the 1990s. Basically, the one I'm thinking of primarily is the one out of Toronto.
Sure.
And it started in 1994, but just extended over 20 years of outpouring that reached the nations. And it was at that time that we saw itinerant ministers go out into all the nations on a continual basis. And people were hosting conferences, seminars, big events, big rallies on a regular basis.
Yes.
So people were coming from all different churches. There would be people coming out of the local churches from different geographical areas. And from all over, people would be coming to celebrate Jesus. And his hand was on it.
I mean,
it was powerful. I mean, people would be getting on airplanes, going halfway around the world for an outpouring of the Spirit. And you know, it just changed the face of the church.
It became a significant part of their spiritual menu, could be one way to put it, where they were used to going to church and it was the local fellowship. And as you said, outreach through your church and reaching out to the poor locally through your church. But then with the outpouring in the 1990s, and this is even before I became a Christian, but I was sort of born again into this, into this setting. But it, I know as a new believer in the early 2000s, that was just one of the main ways I got fed. I was going to church on Sundays, but I was going out to different conferences for different speakers to partake of different anointings, different revelations, and it was a smorgasbord, and it was wonderful.
And what happened was all of a sudden, the face of the church changed, and that we started seeing the church as this global body.
Right.
Rather than just a localized fellowship. Now, I want to make it clear that I am totally pro-local church. In fact, I'm pastor of a local church. I founded local churches, and I'm overseeing one right now. So I'm 100% for local churches. But we do have to look at what God has been doing.
Where is his
we
hand?
Need
what
to discern the times and know
That's
how we are to react to that. So all of a sudden, the church now is connected all the way around the world because of a revival anointing.
Yes.
People are cross-pollinating.
That's
they're
right.
coming from different places. Speakers are being sent in. In fact, so many 501c3s or nonprofit organizations got set up in that era because God was birthing prophetic ministries, apostolic ministries, evangelism, miracle ministries, supernatural ministries. And these were being birthed. So it was like as he was raising up his people to go out and serve these venues, they would carry an aspect of the anointing and go and carry that somewhere.
Yes,
then
yes.
someone else would come and they would couple them up. And it's not unusual. I mean, in some of our meetings, we have had up to 12, 15 speakers in one conference.
Yeah.
Now, years ago, that was unheard of.
Right.
I mean, in a local church setting, you would have local church services, and then maybe once or twice a year, the missionary would come in and share the vision. And then an evangelist once in a while would come in and do a series of meetings. But everything was localized, and now it's not at all.
Right.
Everything is...
Yeah.
And so we need to discern before the Lord, for what purpose is that?
That's right.
What is he looking for? And how do we respond?
And he does have a purpose in it. He actually sowed this vision all the way back in the book of
Acts.
Right. When he talked about, I am sending you out, you're going to serve Jerusalem, you're going to serve Judea, and it's going to go out to Samaria. So it's going to be a local fellowship. It's going to be something
it's
right
here.
But then from here, we're going to echo out and radiate out to all of creation and all of the nations. So God really is, I think that what's going on right now is we're seeing a prophetic manifestation of that mandate. And I believe what's exciting to me is, again, having been born into that sort of post-90s global focus, kingdom global focus, now I'm excited because you can feel another transition that we get to partner with God and one another in to see it go even further and farther.
I know. It is just amazing what has happened in this last 20 years. I mean, I just, it is actually mind-boggling. And you know, with this cross-pollination aspect, it's like, it is because of media, especially, we don't even have to go anywhere.
That's
now,
right.
You mentioned about Acts setting a precedence, but even Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
That's right, every
so
creature.
So now we're coming out of this confined mentality of local church, even though we want that as a hub, we want relationship with others
and
a place of celebration. But it's not only
It's not only that.
It's beyond that.
That's right.
The local church is one expression of the kingdom of God.
And Jesus sent them out. So, you know, they had their local fellowship of their time together with him, not just every Sunday, but every day. Mm-hmm. But then, as you're saying, his mandate was now go out two by two into all the world. And we're seeing that not only manifest, but I actually think we're going to see it increase in new and creative ways.
And what I love about conferences, and there's a whole era of conferences.
Yes.
I mean, from 1994 all the way up to now, God has been oiling conferences. Now, in the Bible days, in the Old Testament especially, he would hold his own conferences. I mean, he would have his feasts and his celebrations.
That's right.
And it was actually mandatory for the people to come. And if they lived outside of Jerusalem, they would even have to travel for that place because they were gathering points where the Spirit of God fed them and met them and you know, celebrated them. And they were happy times together.
Yes.
And so when we look at conferences today, I don't know about, well, I do know about you, but you can answer for yourself here. But my life has been transformed by being in those settings where the saints gather together, where there's been a specific word or focus in the meeting, where the power of God, the presence of God was very predominant in conferences in this last 20 years. But there's a takeaway from
there
it.
There is, absolutely.
Is that you are empowered, and it's almost like you can get more in one weekend of conference than you could in going week by week week into a local setting.
Yes.
And it's like, I don't know, God's blessing was just on it. And he was accelerating. He's accelerating through that. But it accelerated everything, not just conferences.
That's right.
But every aspect of kingdom mandate was accelerated in this last 20 years.
I think one of the main things God does to feed his flock is he raises up spiritual leaders. And spiritual leaders are like our Moseses. They're not only our leaders, they not only help guide us in our walk with God, but they model something to us of what's available with God. And in our local fellowship, we have our pastor every week and the wonderful man or woman of God. And we see God modeled through them, God expressed through them. But in that conference season, one of the things that happened that was so cool is I was going to conferences all the time. Mm-hmm. For a while, conferences were as much my church as my regular local fellowship. And when you saw all those different speakers, you saw all these different anointings, all these different expressions of what is available, not only the revelation they preached, but how they ministered and how they manifested that revelation. And then it would get inside of you. So adding to that spiritual foundation of your local fellowship and what you receive from your pastor every week, now you have all these other Moseses being examples of all these other anointings in Revelation. But the point of a Moses is to empower a Joshua people. You grab hold of it. There comes a time where God doesn't just raise up the Moseses to say, look at what I can do through him or her. It's look at what's available with me.
Amen.
I'm modeling this to you. You need, now you grab hold of it and take it to the world. And that conference season, it gave us many more examples in addition to the wonderful ones at our local fellowship of what's available with God that we can grab hold of and take into the earth.
I know, and also even back into the local church, because
that's
people
right.
would go and get so jazzed at a weekend. I mean, they'd spend 2 or 3 days in an event, get blasted by the Holy Spirit, but there was an infusion, a spiritual infusion that would take place.
Yeah.
They'd go back into the local church and spread it. And many leaders, many church leaders just caught the vision
That's
for
right.
this. So they would themselves be out in these different events,
mm-hmm.
getting themselves filled, taking it back to their congregation.
That's right.
So this cross-pollination grew spiritual leadership like no other
That's
time
right.
in church history. Now, there were some during that season that, you know, leaders that thought, oh no, we got to keep our people here.
Right,
and
right.
they would even tell their people they couldn't go
right.
out to all these things. But it was actually to their detriment,
it
because
was.
When you cut off a flow, you just don't get watered.
No, that's right.
You know, and so I think the whole body is to water.
Yeah.
And so even those that go out and they come back in and they water wherever they go, they're going to water because they've received that infilling. But the other thing that changed in this season, and again, we need to have our prophetic antennas up and examine the will of God for this season, because it turned into a very apostolic season. Now, when I talk about apostolic, I'm talking about building new
right.
foundations,
right.
Building the wineskin for mm-hmm. the new wine, because the old wineskin can't hold the new wine.
Right.
It'll break. And so apostles discern the will of God, but then build
That's right.
the structures for it. They can discern it, and then they build
Yes.
it. And they do that through teaching, through their leadership, and so on and so forth. But one of the areas that that changed was the area of partnership.
Mm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
in the local church emphasis season, all the tithes, all the offerings and that were brought into the local church.
Right.
And I've heard this preached, and you know, some of you might get a little bit upset with this, okay, but you've got to love me, okay? The Bible says you have to love me. But I've heard it preached by many. The tithe belongs to the local church, but then you can give offerings everywhere else. I want to challenge that and just show me in the Bible where you see that.
Mm.
The tithe has never belonged to the local church. The tithe belongs to the Lord.
That's right.
When Abraham first
That's Malachi
gave
3.
The tithe back in Genesis, he presented it to Melchizedek as an act of his heart, but he gave it unto God,
right.
unto Melchizedek,
right.
our high priest, Jesus Christ. And so then in Malachi, and I just want to read this, it says of God, will a man rob God? This isn't talking
right.
about robbing the local
That's
church.
Right.
This is robbing
will you steal
God.
From God, right.
Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and test me thou in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until it overflows.
Yeah.
Then I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of the ground, nor will your vine in the field cast its grapes, says the Lord of hosts. All the nations will call you blessed, for you shall be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So there's fivefold blessing
right.
that comes when you give the first and the best to God. A tithe means 10%.
Right.
So that's what Abraham gave him before the law, by the way. That was before the law. But he gave it to him out of his heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it touched God so much that he actually put it in the
That's
law.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, Abraham inspired that in God's
Abraham
heart.
Inspired it, and God loved it so much. He put it in the law so that the people of God would know the blessing that would come upon
That's
them
exactly
through it. Right?
It. Yes.
But anyways, two things I want to say here. Number one, the tithe belongs to the Lord,
mm-hmm.
not to the storehouse.
Right.
Which could be the local church. It could be a ministry that's feeding you.
Mm-hmm.
It could be whatever ministry that is representing the Lord in that sense, but the tithe belongs to him. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we give him the first and the best because of our love, our honor. We usually bring it to the storehouse. He said, bring it to the storehouse.
Right.
So the storehouse can be your local church.
Absolutely.
You present it to the Lord. It's really important to present the tithe properly.
Mm-hmm.
You present the tithe to the Lord in the local church or wherever else is your storehouse.
Right.
If there's a storehouse that is releasing food to the nations and you feel led of the Lord to honor him in that, then that is the first and the best unto him for the ministry, and it's to be brought into the house so that
right.
there's meat in the house. It's not like, oh, you know, I'll spend my tithe on a new dress or on a pizza, or I'll treat my neighbor to lunch and I'll call that a tithe. No,
right.
this is for the Lord
yes.
and for his house, right? For getting the food out to the nations, the
mm-hmm.
spiritual food out to the nations. So as we look at this and the switch that has taken place, there's had to be a mentality
yes,
switch.
Yes, there has.
Now, I remember years ago, I was actually, like, my husband and I love tithing. So we, you know, as I know you
right.
do, we just tithe,
yeah.
you know, as many tithes
there's
as you can
so
get out.
Many
it's
blessings
awesome.
Attached to
oh,
it.
My
yeah.
gosh, we're so blessed
yes,
because of that.
That's
I
right.
know it. And so right as a brand new believer, I was giving tithes even before my husband got saved. I tithed off of his income.
That's awesome.
He didn't know it. I was using the grocery money to give the tithe, but
yeah.
it blessed my husband.
Yeah.
So he got saved within 11 months, and we've been, you know, tithing, and we would bring our tithe to the local church. I could hardly wait
mm-hmm.
to get to church on Sunday to give the Lord my tithe, right? But then after a few years, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I don't want you giving your tithe here anymore. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And he says, I want you to give it to this particular ministry. And he gave me the name of the ministry. And it's definitely a storehouse where the food, the word was going out, and it had been feeding us.
I was so going to ask, were you guys being fed by it? Okay.
We had been fed by it,
okay.
but the whole world was being fed by it. And we had been giving offerings up to that time. But
okay.
the Lord said, I want you to direct your tithe there. I want you to give me my,
right.
my tithe in this place.
Into this storehouse.
It was very confusing. Mm. But do you know that within a year, we discovered that that leader had been embezzling finances out of the church.
Not the one where you had been sowing,
the
and
one
he told
where
you
I
not
had
to anymore.
Been sowing.
Wow.
The one where I had been sowing,
right.
where God said, don't
so
sow there anymore.
He directed no longer there, this
yeah.
new storehouse.
And
wow.
It's like, that's because the tithe belongs to God.
Right.
He knows what was going on. So he said,
exactly.
no, I want you to put it over here. Because
yeah.
he knew our heart. We wanted to honor him.
Yeah. You wanted
right?
to sow into good ground.
Right. Now, in this new apostolic thrust, we have to look. I mean, the kingdom got really big overnight,
right.
sort of thing. Because now we're out of this small local church mentality, which
mm-hmm.
again, I want to emphasize, this is an important context of the kingdom of God. Your local church
is
important. And, you know, if you're connected to a local church and that church is feeding you spiritually, then, you know, you're probably going to be directed by the
mm-hmm.
Lord to give your tithe to him in that storehouse.
Yes.
But when this apostolic vision came, God starts calling forth apostolic partnership.
Right.
So I'll give you an example, like Heidi Baker, for example. Heidi Baker could never be supported by one local church.
No, it's an incredible apostolic work. It needs much more support than just one wonderfully intentioned local church. You're
exactly.
right.
And so what happened, orchestrated by the Spirit of God, is people started to discern
yes.
the blessing
yes.
on Heidi Baker and the fruit of the kingdom that
mm-hmm.
was going. And they started partnering with that ministry and every month giving some maybe tithes, some
yes.
offerings, whatever. But they were directed by the Lord to give forth partnership. And you'll find many ministries, including our own.
Mm-hmm.
Like I remember when we were called to go into media,
right.
which was, you know, just at the turn of the millennium there, God said, don't go, you know, because we've been offered a large sum of money for our media ministry
mm-hmm.
from a secular group of investors, but there's strings attached. And I felt not to do that. And God said, you don't need to go to them because I've got my own financial partners. And he took me into a vision and showed me this checklist that he had, a spreadsheet with names of people with golden check marks beside certain ones. And he said, these are the ones I have chosen
mm-hmm.
to be my financial partners in your apostolic calling into media.
Right.
And we didn't even have one partner at that time. He said, you call them the breaker team because they are going to break
That's
through.
Right.
and they will carry that breaker anointing. And what they do for me, every time they give, there's going to be a breaker anointing on that giving that's going to expand the kingdom worldwide. And he said, you cannot outgive me. So that breaker anointing is going to come back on each one that gives, and you will together advance the kingdom. And so from that point, that's how we started our breaker team partnership, and it just grew over the years. And just want to encourage you, if you feel a leading to partner with this ministry, that we welcome you. It's good soil. And that's something else that God talked about, is to sow into good soil.
Yeah.
So what I want to do now in the few minutes that we have left is talk about the blessings that come with partnership.
Right. Right.
And I think the one of the first blessings is the covering. Because when you partner with a ministry financially, you are actually becoming part of that ministry.
It becomes like a covenant connection.
Exactly.
And all those blessings flow into your life.
And so all the covering that is over that ministry from the Lord, it's apostles. Like our ministry has many apostles that cover this, such as Bill Johnson and Randy Clark and Che An and Chuck Pierce and James Gall and Stacey Campbell and others that cover us apostolically. So whenever anyone becomes a partner, that covering is theirs too. So there's an increased blessing.
God said to bring it into the storehouse. And think about in the natural, if I come to your and Ron's house, I am under your roof. I am under your covering. And when we partner in the kingdom, it works the same way in the spirit. When we make a partner commitment, then all of a sudden we come under that roof, that covering, that anointing, that blessing.
And you always want to make sure that you're covering, whatever you're partnering, whoever you're partnering with, you want to make sure they're pure and holy and righteous and passionate. They have integrity as well as faith and, you know, everything that you are looking to see the kingdom advance, because it's as though your name is on that. It's as though you are doing that, right?
That's right.
Now, the next one is the fruit. So why don't you talk about that? The fruit of a ministry goes to the partners.
If you sow into a ministry, if you're helping a ministry accomplish something anywhere in the world, then you are completely a part of that work. And all the fruit is under your account. I can think of the very first mission trip I ever took was to Africa to be a part of some miracle crusades. And there was a group of people that said, we have no interest in going to Africa, but we're thrilled that you want to go, so we want to help send you, and then we get to be a part of that. And I thought, that's exactly what partnership is. We're made to partner. Jesus started the church by a partner call. He said, come, follow me. Come, work with me. And look at what fruit has still come forth from that. So when we sow into a ministry, when we partner with a ministry, we not only come under that blessing and that anointing, but all the fruit of that ministry is unto our account in heaven.
And I think one day we're going to stand before the Lord.
You'd be amazed.
And he's going to show us multitudes who got saved.
That's right.
In fact, I've seen this in a vision. And we'll say, Where do these come from?
Yeah.
He says, these are the ones that came to me through your partnerships, through your associations, through what you have sown into. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to go to him with nothing. You know. Okay, the next one, and we're getting low on time here, so we'll have to go through these ones quicker. But there's reward, and we all stand for rewards of faithfulness. So every ministry is presented to the Lord, and it's my obligation, my responsibility as an apostolic leader to one day present this ministry before
the
Lord and say, Lord, this is the ministry that came forth from what you gave to us.
This is how we invested our talents.
And he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant.
That's what we want,
And it's for everyone who invested into
it.
It's for everyone.
That's right.
The other thing is the transference of anointing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, we partner with many ministries. Our ministry partners with many ministries.
That's our
good friends out there on the mission field, like Heidi and others. We partner with those ministries. We partner with media. We partner with evangelism. We do that purposely and intentionally with ministries that we believe in, because there is this sharing of anointing.
That's
There's this transference of anointing that comes.
Yeah.
And so we have seen this. And when you partner with an apostolic ministry, you are partnering with their anointing
as well.
I've just noticed that every time we've done that, we have just seeing everything grow.
I think one of the great biblical examples of that is David's mighty men. Uh-huh. They partnered with a giant slayer, and then everyone else we see slay a giant in the Old Testament was one of David's mighty
Come
men.
On.
They got
there
that anointing by partnering with him,
awesome.
And it works the same with ministries.
It works the same. And so what I would like to do right now as we close up is bless you to honor the Lord with partnership. Partnership with your local church, partnership with different ministries who have fed you and who have nurtured you, who have been a blessing to you. As you do that, you're honoring the Lord with your tithes, with your offerings, with you know, special almsgivings and things like that. But there's something about that monthly partnership, if you can partner with ministries. I want to invite you to consider Patricia King Ministries in our outreach through media, through missions, through teaching, equipping, and mentoring, through all those different aspects. And so when you partner with us as a Breaker Team member, and I know that many of you are going to go to the number on your screen right now and sign up as a monthly partner, because God has his hand on you. He is calling you for such a time as this, because alone, we can't do very much, but together we can put, you know, thousands to flight. We can bring in so much reward for the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you to go onto that number that you see on your screen or to our website and partner with us. And let's see what we can do together in the Lord. You are blessed. God is calling you into apostolic partnership to reach the nations of the world together. Be faithful to every ministry, especially your local church, who is serving, who is feeding, who is caring for you. And let's build the kingdom of God together. We'll see you next time. And remember this, God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really does. Now go spread that around.